о чем вообще говорить на этой неделе? Новостей нет, все скучно, не знаю, о чем говорить.
Nei, du, denne uka her blir ikke kjedelig. Dette blir faktisk ganske fett, skal jeg love deg. Vi har mye kult på programmet.
Hi and welcome to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
I'm Petri. Hello.
And this is Petri again. You probably remember him from last month or something, two months ago.
Yeah, also once. My first week, I guess.
Yeah, your first week of what?
Of working here in Microsoft Corp, Redmond.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of news actually for you today. And we obviously start from another build of Windows 10. And the biggest thing about this build, it's actually the first build of what people realized we call Threshold 2, TH2. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of next thing after RTM. And as soon as we are ready with the new and good enough build, we just ship it to you, Windows Insider. So that's really big.
Yeah, so it's time to be a Windows Insider if you're not.
Right, and as usually, it's not just about bug fixes, but also about new features. So I hope very soon we're going to ship also an update, like Insider's update of the SDK. And it's also going to have new features in API. So, man, exciting times.
Yeah, so with this release, you can go in and change the colors, more customizable colors, and we're going to have the compressed memory.
Compressed memory? What is compressed memory?
So basically, instead of paging files to the hard drive, mm-hmm. when Windows feels that, okay, memory is full, it's going to compress it instead, making it much faster than accessing your hard drive.
Yeah, man, the CPUs, they're so fast today, so it's faster to use CPU and compress stuff instead of saving on my relatively fast SSD.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is great. Cool. Yeah. That's great. So talking about Windows 10 and new technologies, we just made some Windows 10 virtual machines available on Microsoft Edge, their website. So you can start testing your websites with these virtual machines and with Microsoft Edge, which is pretty big because Microsoft Edge is a big thing in Windows 10, and with our update cadence, like tens of millions of people are getting Windows 10 now, and Microsoft Edge is the default browser, and I'm using it. It's really good.
It's great.
Yeah, once we get the extension support eventually, that's gonna be my ideal browser. I don't need anything else, right?
Yeah, I agree. So just go ahead and download the VMs, test out your web page.
Yeah, and
talk about 10 millions of users, and more and more coming.
Yeah. Oh, it's already like, a lot more. Yeah. So, and actually, there is a great blog post by Peter. Why should you care about Microsoft Edge? And he explains the strategy. He explains the features Microsoft Edge provides. Standard compliance and shipping the Windows 10 and update strategy. So that's really important. That's a really big thing. And I was pretty skeptical about Microsoft Edge once we started developing and planning it. And but now I see a great reception. Now I see actually the quality of the product, and I really love it. I really love the browser. It's faster. It's reliable. It just gives me features like I now feel the difference. Makes sense.
So you should care because it says they're highlighted in yellow, mm-hmm. every single one, and that's every single one of the installations of Windows 10 is going to have Edge. So you have to make sure that your browser is application is compatible.
Exactly. Next news, Windows Advertising SDK. What is this thing about?
So I made a lot of games, mm-hmm. and as probably a lot of you watching this show is making games or apps, and we tend to like to make money on it, so...
Sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can sell it, or you can monetize it through ads, and we released some pretty cool tools for doing ads in Windows 10 and as well Windows 8 and 8.1. So this is cool. So the nice thing about this is that this SDK runs on all the devices. So it's just one single SDK across all of the devices, and we also support interstitials. Mm-hmm. So that's a new and nice thing for us, finally.
Yeah, and the ad mediation thing, I just read through that.
Yeah.
The ad mediation thing is good because it's basically give you a balance of different advertisements
kind of
providers. Advertisement system like Google One or AdDuplex or Microsoft Advertising. So you can basically show advertisements from different providers, and you can tune this. You can you can tune this based on the country, on different capabilities. So that's really great. You can get the best from advertisement on Windows 10.
Yeah.
Cool. Next thing, Windows Server 2016 Containers Preview. We used to talk a lot about containers at Build, at This Week on Channel 9. And finally, we're shipping a preview about container support in Windows Server. So basically, you can now do containers on Windows Server. And what's also great, you can actually use Docker for managing Windows Server containers. So you can either use a Docker client, or you can use a PowerShell scripts. And Windows Server is great about this kind of container approach. Cool. And once you start learning about containers, there is a Mark Rusinovich post. And what is this post about, Petri?
It's about looking ahead. It's about containers. It's about Dockers. It's about trends. Everyone, as you said, is currently talking about containers. And it's important. So this post is all about how we wish in going forward.
Yeah. Cool. So if you're just getting started, or you want to understand what we think about this approach, make sure you read it.
Learn the patterns.
Yeah.
Everything's there.
Do you know who actually Mark Rusinovich is? His kind of title and what people know about him, he's a CTO of Azure. And talking about Azure, well, yeah, we're going to have a new Azure conference, AzureCon. In September, actually, end of September. That's big. It's like a big thing for Azure. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of announcements. They're going to have customers. They're going to have cool people like Scott and Jason talking there. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Hanselman will be there talking about something, and Mark Rusinovich for sure. So that's a big thing. And if you're interested in Azure, if you are working with the cloud, any kinds of cloud, make sure you register and attend.
Yeah, it's really cool. We had this a couple of times before, mm-hmm. and it's basically a virtual event, so you can sit at home and pay attention to the conference. So just join in, sign up, and be ready at these dates.
Cool.
And of course, it's going to be recorded.
Yeah. So jumping from kind of Azure thing to a Visual Studio thing, our friend Dmitry Lalin made a very good list of videos available on demand on Visual Studio. So he basically put a lot of, a huge list of videos about Visual Studio, Team Foundation Server, different Visual Studio capabilities, extensions. So it's if you want to kind of refresh your knowledge, or you want to see if you missed something, probably just go and read it, and it's just a good kind of table of contents.
Yeah, there's every topic listed down on the web page. You can just go ahead and select which video you like to see and what technology you want to learn, and check it out. It's a great list. So,
yeah, if you watched all these videos and still have questions about Visual Studio, we've got this beautiful FAQ on Visual Studio. So basically, there are very typical questions about Visual Studio, like why does installation take so long, or whatever.
Why
I don't have Windows 10 tools on my Visual Studio kind of wizards and the project templates. This thing is going to give you an answer.
Yeah,
most likely.
With every release of Visual Studio, there's always going to be a lot of questions. And with a lot of questions, we create this kind of FAQ. So
exactly.
If it's not there,
exactly.
you can go ahead and ask someone, but I think it's going to be there.
Yeah. So moving forward from kind of product news to, I would say, science news. Moving
science
to the
news.
Science.
I like
right.
that.
We reached this beautiful news from Intel. What is this about?
So this is basically about the technology that Stephen Hawking has been using, or the latest technology he's been using, because the issue with what he used to be having mm-hmm. was that his condition kind of got worse, mm-hmm. and he was able to only speak a couple of words per minute. So he reached out to Intel, and Intel made this possible. So with this technology, he actually multiplied his pace of talk by 10 times.
Oh, so, this is awesome.
Yeah, and he got a lot on his mind, so it's good that he gets it out.
Yeah, and Intel open sourced this technology, and surprisingly, it's based on .NET and WinForms. It works on Windows, and if you go deep with this, you see like about the computer vision algorithms. They use some like face recognition stuff, as well as like visualizing, as well as working with the camera, and so it has a lot of interesting capabilities and a lot of interesting findings they put in the system. So that's really interesting for anybody who work with the computer vision for robotics or with computer vision for like face recognition. That's really interesting. I'm personally going to go through this and see what they do.
I can imagine.
Talking about Intel.
Yeah, and listening.
What else do we have?
Well, we do have processors that constantly is listening to you.
Yeah, it's this news is about actually Skylake kind of platform and processor. Intel announced it even before the IDF and. The previous news and this one is coming from Intel Developer Forum happened this week, and they had a demo at the keynote, and this demo was basically about a constantly listening machine. You probably remember Wake on LAN feature with the computers. This is something like Wake on Voice. So you have your computer in sleep and like in standby mode. You're approaching this machine and you say, "Hey Cortana." And Cortana actually starts listening. So it requires some work, both in the hardware side, done by Intel, and the software side, I'm on Windows engineers. And it's just great. I can come into my office, say, "Hey Cortana, my machine is just go up," and like I can give some comments like, "Oh, make me coffee." Not really like. What time is it now? I probably can't understand it. Like, okay, I'm kidding. I can ask her, "What is your pick of the week?" And Cortana is gonna tell me. So
based on machine learning.
Yeah, this is really great. So Intel is doing a great job as well as Windows engineers.
Yeah.
More Intel news.
We have a lot of Intel news today.
Yeah, IDF, man.
Is this something that you're gonna have in your office?
Actually, I already have a kind of thing in my office, but what's great about this Razer sensor based on Intel RealSense technology is that it's targeting gamers and it's targeting game streamers. What's interesting about this? You probably know about Intel RealSense. The easiest way to explain the RealSense technology is that it's a Kinect-like device. It's a camera with color camera, with infrared camera, with the depth sensors. So that's basically a Kinect-like device, but just done by Intel. They have SDK for developing on different platforms. And Razer, they made this RealSense technology in a different design. And with this design and with the SDK they're gonna ship. They're targeting VR, they're targeting gaming, so you can do fancy things in your games. You can basically do better in-game chats. You can provide additional control to a character, probably with your body. So, and also you can do VR things given the fact that you can understand gestures. So it's pretty interesting sensor, and I'm looking forward. This thing is getting traction.
Yeah.
All the computer vision stuff, all the what we call more personal computing, like speech, machine learning.
And this will work with Windows Hello.
Yeah. And given the fact that it's all getting traction, I have another news for you. It's kind of local. I mean, local for Germany, but it's pretty big. And it's just one of the series of the events we're going to have. And it's about computational sensing hackathon. Patrick, do you know these faces? Do you recognize them?
Yeah, I do. I recognize a couple of them. That's some friends there.
Actually, our friends are going to have... in September, just a week before AzureCon, they're going to have a hackathon. It's going to be relatively small, so it's like less than 200 people. So if you're interested, make sure you register.
Yeah.
That it's really interesting. It's about more personal computing. It's about what they call computational sensing. So it's basically we're going to get a bunch of devices, Kinect, Microsoft Band, Surfaces, whatever else. And you're going to hack around that.
Yeah.
We're going to provide SDK. We're going to help you. These people are going to help you. And you can hack about computer vision. You can hack about VR. You can hack about people's health with Band. So that's going to be really interesting.
So if you guys want to go nuts with the MPC, this is the place to go.
Microsoft Personal Computing.
Yeah.
And we're going to have more news about it later. I'm actually going to attend the hackathon in a different country, so...
Yeah, you're going to Australia.
Please, no spoilers. Whatever. It's getting traction, and I love it. Let's switch to the next news. And
Talk about sensors.
Yeah, and it's kind of... It sounds for me a little bit scary, so I feel like a smell of that... How they call that system on Terminator? I forgot the name.
Yeah.
But you will understand now what I'm talking about. D-Wave Systems announced the first generally available quantum computer with more than 1,000 qubits. That's a big thing. For those of you who understand what quantum computing is, I don't mean you understand in detail, but I have a sense of that. That's a really big. So you can now go and buy a quantum computer, and from their tests, like it's the first step, but it's a huge step. From their tests, this machine does some, not some, but in the tests, they work 15 times faster than specialized algorithms on a classic computer. So if you have a highly specialized, probably hardware, like in the hardware implementation, specialized machine, this guy is gonna work 15 times faster. I mean, probably with the same size of the machine, because the machine is really huge.
Are you buying one?
Sure, I'm buying one next week.
Awesome.
If you do just the regular computational things, this guy is gonna work 600 times faster. That's huge, and it's like that's huge step ahead in like in cryptography and in doing like any kind of science computational, like genome, DNA researches, everything what requires highly parallelized computation, and that's a big step ahead. I love it.
Yeah.
And moving from this news, which can be a peak of the week, but it's so huge, so we were kind of arguing whose peak of the week it's going to be.
Yeah.
We're moving to real peaks of the week, and the first one is by Petri.
So this is my peak of the week. This is basically a couple of scientists who presented at SIGGRAPH, mm-hmm. which was a conference held last week.
Probably 2 weeks
ago. 2 weeks ago,
recently.
Yeah, recently at least. It's about making an algorithm that makes computers see the style differences. So this enables me, for example, you know, I'd make some simple 3D models for my games, mm-hmm. but my issue is that every time I'm making different models, they don't have the same style.
Mm-hmm.
So this algorithm can recognize the style of different objects for example, Gothic style mm-hmm. versus the more, you know, the Vikings, Northern stuff, and so on.
So can I use it for my living room? So basically, I say, oh, I want to have my living room is in, I don't know, in modern. And then I buy something weird.
And you can pass it
and
through.
And I make a picture, and this algorithm says, no, you cannot put this.
They won't match.
They won't match.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's.
So it can probably help you with that.
Yeah, that's good. And they, you know, you understand the biggest thing about it is the fact that the computer can understand. Most of the people cannot. Like I cannot.
I cannot. I can see some. I know some of them, but not many. Yeah.
That's big. Okay, let's move to my pick of the week. My pick of the week, you probably remember last week it was Nicholas thing. This week is Petri's thing. So Petri made a great post for beginners. We always kind of running out of information for those of you who are just getting started with certain technologies.
Yeah.
DirectX is actually a very complicated thing. It's very fast, it's very powerful, but it's very complicated for those who want just to start doing basic things, who want to start with doing cube rendering, but at the same time, understand what they do.
Yeah, so this is basically like a fine new project, mm-hmm. and then you run it, and I try to explain what's happening, because you see a spinning cube with some colors on it, but there's actually a lot more to it. So if you're interested, you can check out the article.
Yeah, it explains like the shader stages we have in DirectX. It explains like what vertices to pixel shaders mean, like how they match, and like what every shader produces, and why it's important. So that's really good for understanding basics. And once you understand basics, then you can move forward. And the biggest thing, you can finally understand what this wizard, what this project wizard generates for you. That's it for this week, and yeah. Thank you for joining us today. Hopefully, next week we're gonna have great news for you as well.
Thank you very much.
Bye, and have fun. Have fun.